Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This morning's sermon text is taken from the words of Jesus. Mark 5, verse 19. It reads, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you." This past week, on November 13, was known as World Kindness Day. Its purpose was to highlight good deeds in the community, focusing on the positive power and the common thread of kindness that binds us. Unfortunately, one thing that I find a lot in today's society is an increase in disrespect and ungratefulness towards others. For instance, when you're driving on the road and you stop to let people go by, and they don't even acknowledge you with a thank you. Or when you let a car go by, they don't even, thanks a lot. The part of you, the fleshly part of you, just wants to take these people and treat them like a little child and say, "What do you say to this kind person?" Isn't it only right to show kindness and to be kind and also show kindness to others who are kind to you? For the Christian, gratitude should be a life attitude. Being kind in our response to those who shows kindness towards us truly matters. In this story, we see a demon-possessed man demonstrate his gratitude towards Jesus in a way that we should model as well. So I want to begin my reading in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. It reads, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and his shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' For he said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' Then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine, that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There was about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and downward into the sea. So those who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them, how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from the region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you.' And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled." So So this morning's sermon is focused on this man's response to the compassion of Christ. We have three applications we're going to pull out of. First, to seek fellowship with the Lord. Second, show obedience to the Lord. And third, being thankful for proclaiming the Lord's name. First, seek fellowship with the Lord. The demon-possessed man, he was in despair. He was lost, helpless, living amongst the tombs of the dead. Sin's destructive forces had this man in emotional pain. He was crying. This demon-possessed man had a lot of rage in him. He inflicted pain on himself, cutting himself with stones. Now, we've all had a form of despair in our lives, either through a sickness, a death, our own sinful actions, the results of other sinful actions towards us, or other things like poor decisions, addictions, and even the pride, even our own pride, may have put us in a pit of despair. So it's safe to say that we've all been in a spiritual pit or valley in our lifetime. Ecclesiastes 7:20 reads, "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." So we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And praise be to God that Jesus came and pulled us out of that spiritual pit or valley that we were in. That He freed us from the sin bondage that chained us. And He gave us a peace and eternal security that we don't deserve. Now, the response of the demon-possessed man that Jesus changed, gave a spiritual conversion, his change was eye-opening. Now, he wanted to jump into Jesus' boat and just be with Him. He begged to be with Jesus. He was so thankful for what Jesus had done for him that he just wanted to continue showing it. Now today we have fellowship with God. Galatians 2:20 states that He is living within us. And He's also working within us. We are partakers of that divine nature. Believers have that special privilege of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Christ empowering us and living through us. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4 read, "As His divine power has given us to all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Again, what a great privilege it is to have fellowship with God. Showing appreciation is part of being thankful towards what God did for us. So the application for us, for His church, is to do our best to cultivate that fellowship with the Holy Spirit and not quench the Spirit. Seeking fellowship with the Spirit isn't something that we can earn on our part. It's a grace gift from God. Like everything else in our lives, it comes from above, including our faith. The Spirit is our source of life and the power of God. Now we can cultivate it. We can cultivate it though. And one way to better cultivate our fellowship with God is through communication with God through prayer. Communication is key to better any relationship. So the less you communicate with God and likewise people, it's like you become strangers. And that is a very, very sad thing. Especially with family, friends. Used to talk to these people all the time, know them, but then you lost touch. And it's just a sad realization, especially with family. So Jesus instructs us to pray. Luke 18:1, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being diligent in it with thanksgiving. So communication is key to any relationship, especially with God. Another way to cultivate fellowship with God is to read the Bible. It's God's love letter to you and I. It's Christ-centered. And everything revolves around Christ in it. Even the resurrected Jesus told the two disciples on the road to Emmaus that all the scripture and all the prophecies were about Him. Let's take it to that. Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 27 read, then He said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. Charles Spurgeon stated, nobody ever outgrows scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years. So friends, draw near to God. He provides us the means. The question is, what are we doing with the means? James 4:8 reads, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Drawing near to God isn't a physical thing. You know, His presence is here. It's all around us right now. But drawing near to God means being active in our faith. Living His way. Hebrews 10:19-23 reads, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So again, it's being active. Drawing near to God is being active in our faith and not just sitting on the sidelines. Second point of application is to show obedience to the Lord. Now, by Jesus not letting the man who was demon-possessed into the boat, that demonstrates that we always won't get what we want from God. You know, a lot of people claim that they worship God in their own way, which basically states that God's way isn't on their agenda. Their attitude is like the Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. But this way simply doesn't fit in with God. It's like trying to fit a square-shaped peg into a triangle hole. Just won't work. See, God has plans for each of us, and it's not always about our wants and our ways, but His wants and His ways. Colossians 3:1-3 read, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The word died is in the past tense because believers were united with Christ in death. Our sins were already paid through Christ's death, and we arose with Christ in a new life, born again. So showing obedience is being consistent. Living our lives, demonstrating a Christ-likeness to those around us. And doing what He wants. And even mandates. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do in all the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Our response to those who show kindness to us, it needs to be reciprocated. How many times do you hear a person who almost died through a freak accident and thank the person who saved him or her? Their emphasis is always on the hero. Not nothing else, but the hero. Friends, we also have a hero, better known as Lord, God, and Savior. And we would not be here if it wasn't for Jesus. We would not be secure in our faith if it wasn't for Jesus. And for what He did on the cross for us in His resurrection. Isaiah 54:10 reads, "For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall never depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you." Again, showing obedience is a measure of gratitude and thankfulness for what He has done on our behalf. The compassion He has had on unrighteous souls like ours. The once demon-possessed man is now healed. But he wasn't allowed to go with Jesus. So he did the next best thing. He demonstrated obedience to Jesus' command. When Jesus said, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you." That man faithfully did that. Jesus' command to that healed man is also the same command for us as well. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you. It's not only a sign of obedience towards God, but also a sign of thankfulness as well. Out on the streets evangelizing, people at times, they thank us for what we do. But all the glory goes to God, no matter what. It's all about Him and His message. His life-saving gospel message. Again, being thankful is just a sign of obedience to Him, to His Word, and continuing the cause for Christ. That brings us to our third and final application, being thankful, proclaiming the Lord's name. You know, when the healed man proclaimed all that Jesus had done for him, the Bible states that people marveled. Well, the same thing can happen out here to any ear that would hear the gospel message today. Sometimes on the street, the Spirit compels me to give my own testimony to someone on the street, to help consider the message. Because it's true. Because I was not always a holy roller. It's being thankful towards God. It's showing thankfulness for what He has done for me and what He has done for every one of us who believe. Proverbs 11:30, "He who wins souls is wise." Friends, find a way to proclaim His name. Create opportunities. People always find it interesting when they ask me how I'm doing, I reply, I'm blessed. It gets people to think about God and His blessings in our lives. And also creates an opportunity to share the gospel. So show thankfulness to His name. Psalm 105, 1-3 reads, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord." To conclude, gratitude is something that we can't be without. We ought to remain grateful in both good days and bad. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 reads, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Amen. Let's all go before the Lord. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank You, thank You. We cannot thank You enough for what You have done for us through Your Son Jesus. We thank You so much for taking our place, taking our sins on Yourself. We thank You, Father, for this story, the many stories that You give us through Your Word, to help edify us, to help realize Your truth and Your truth only, to help us come to terms that we are nothing without You, that man's way is not the way, but Your way is. We just want to continue to be grateful and thankful with our lives. We ask for Your help in doing this. We ask for Your help in fighting the flesh whenever we feel mad or angry when others don't show thankfulness towards us. Father, we just want to continue to be like You in every way, because You have an unfailing love for us. And You continue to show us love despite when we turn our backs on You. So again, Father, help us, Father. Help us to remain thankful and grateful for all the things we have in our life, the blessings You have given us. Let's not take anything for granted. All this I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.